This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So what's up, man? What's new? How was C2E2?
C2E2 was pretty amazing. Like normal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I just wish I would have went to more panels on Saturday, but I went to two or three total, so it was all right.
Nice. Did you get to talk to some Aftershock folks?
I did. That was why I skipped out on a couple of panels Saturday, because I was on a mission for us.
Yes, you were. Why don't you tell the people about this mission?
So, the first booth second booth I stopped at was the Aftershock booth.
Shame on you. What was the first one?
Well, what's the first booth when you walk into C2E2, Martin?
Valiant?
Yes.
Shame on you.
I know. But anyway, so I talked to Joe and Lisa, and I bought us both the C2E2 con exclusive Shock cover.
Shock.
Yes, which is awesome, by the way.
I haven't read it yet.
Shameful.
Well, you know, it's not in my hands.
I know. It's on the way, though.
Sure. I mean, I flipped through it at SC Comic Con a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. You got to hold it.
I got to hold it.
So, Joe said that Aaron Douglas was going to be at the booth signing, Cullen Bowen was going to be at the booth signing, and a couple more people. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And so then I was like, well, then why don't I just grab everybody that has wrote for Aftershock or will write for Aftershock, sign this, and just be like a jam piece instead of the autographed edition that's out now for $49.95. So
yeah.
It'll be an Aftershock Central podcast exclusive.
Oh, snap. Yeah, right. Diamond tried to copy you, bro.
Well, theirs was already there, but
anyway. I think ours has more signatures, though.
It does, actually. And it has people, like I said, like I got Tim Seeley to sign it and Zach Kaplan, and even Lisa signed it. She was shocked that I asked her to sign it. No pun intended there.
I was going to say. Did you get Kimmy to sign it?
No, because she was helping people, and I was going to even have Joe's daughter sign it because she was there helping too.
Nice.
And then, like, you know how it is. It's going to a con. I didn't want to, like, just hang around the booth the whole time, even though it was fun, and we had fun, and we were joking and everything. But it was like, okay, this dude's just hanging around, you know. It's kind of creepy. So then that's when I went and, like, got Tim Seeley to sign, and then Zach Kaplan, who's going to be writing the Lost Explorers book.
Yep.
And I actually, instead of like going through the line and waiting in line at the booth, Colin wasn't very busy, so I stood in his line at his table and did that. And it was pretty cool. Like, everybody that I got signed, I think it was 15 total.
Nice.
Well, Saturday it was 14 total, and then we got back to the room and we were getting ready to get some drinks and 38 pounds of pizza. And I looked at Twitter, and Aftershock and Lisa and Joe tweeted out that Sean Lewis was there and Marshall Dillon was there, and I was like, damn it, they're not even on the app. Why are they there? So then I text Joe, and he was like, well, Marshall will be back at the booth very first thing tomorrow, so stop by. And whoa, the bell.
Oh, the bell. The bell fell.
So I even got Marshall Dillon to sign it because, you know, it's Marshall Dillon, and he pretty much lettered the whole book.
Yeah. That man's busy, dude.
Yep.
He's been around.
Yep. And there.
He's been around.
Pretty super cool, too.
Yeah, I bet. That's awesome. That's awesome. Was Donnie there this year?
No, he was at the Dallas Fan Expo that was the same weekend.
Right. Yeah, that's a shame. Shameful.
Well, it makes sense. Like, him and Brent Peoples weren't there this year because they both live in Texas. And
I know. That's not an excuse. You don't live in Chicago.
No.
And you were there.
Yeah, that's true.
Shame on Donnie and Brent. I'm glad Ben's doing good, man. He's having a good time at DC.
Yeah.
Shame on that other company for skipping out on him.
Yep, it's their loss.
Their loss. Ah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't get to go, but I did get the second best thing. I got to talk to Zach and Lonnie, and that was more fun.
Yeah, and they weren't there either.
Yeah.
But I knew that back for when I talked to Zach on here, so.
Sure. Yeah, they're awesome. They're my new BFFs.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Did you get to see that thing that I sent you?
Yes.
Can we talk about it, or is it a secret?
Well, it's free, right?
Oh, yeah, good point.
So, I mean...
we'll get the review copy for that, in a week or two anyway, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that book, man. Relay looks awesome.
Yep, Relay does look awesome.
Relay looks awesome.
But I did notice that it's just Zach, though. It's not Zach and Lonnie.
Yeah, that one's just Zach. It's Zach and Donnie, kind of.
Yeah, so it's only single awesome instead of double awesome, like when Zach and Lonnie do stuff.
Yeah. I just see if Lonnie's working on a solo project, too.
Yeah, but their new awesome book comes out next week, so we'll be talking about that, too.
God, yeah, it's so good. It is so good. I think I read that thing like 4 times.
Yep, I'm already predicting it's number 1 of the week next week.
Oh, I already know it is.
Well, I mean, I haven't read anything else from next week, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to...
It is. I hadn't even looked to see what comes out next week from everybody else, but that was a good one. And of course, I had the extra appreciation by getting to dive into that stuff, you know?
Yep.
So that's always a plus. I think it's like when we podcast, right? Like, I know we've had that with, like, Jack, for example,
mm-hmm.
when he was with us on this podcast before he defected to the Marvel side. And we always had new stuff come up on conversation. That's a good thing about the conversation, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you end up seeing something that nobody else was seeing before.
Yeah, or different viewpoints.
Yeah, yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. What else is going on? Anything new in the Aftershock universe? Probably not, right?
Nope. Not that I know of.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I figure we get announcements before C2E2, and now there probably won't be anything for, I would say, at least another month.
Yeah. Well, they were coming hot and heavy there for a while, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike other publishers who didn't
have... Shall remain nameless.
Well, yeah. That just doesn't put out anything.
Yep.
Silence is virtue.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But I do want to say before we move on, though, you and I both were at C2E2 and the Aftershock booth last year. And then this year, I'm telling you, like, the traffic tripled from last year.
Oh, dude, I have no doubt. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Aftershock, even if just in passing. And it's really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff.
I would say probably, besides the Marvel and DC booths, theirs was like the most packed, like consistently throughout all 3 days.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, that one company is not that busy anymore.
Right, yeah.
Then I know Lion Forge was there. Wasn't Lion Forge right by the front door also this year?
Yes, it was. And they had a futuristic kind of cool panel too.
Oh, really?
Not panel, but booth.
Nice.
Yeah. But there really wasn't anybody. It was like the Dark Horse booth was last year, like just people working there, you know, and and trades and whatnot.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Dark Horse booth last year. Like, it was a cool setup booth, but you know, I like when people talk to me at the booth.
Yeah. That's pretty much
they don't do that.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as it was this year as well.
Yeah. That's how the Image booth is always also. They're just there to sell, like, Funko Pops, I guess. I don't know. It's a good thing we're going to do an Image podcast. It'd be like, this podcast is shut down.
Yeah.
Shut down. Now, they still put out some good stuff, man. Did you get to read that Dead Hand?
I did, yeah.
How good was that?
It was good. It was a lot more complex and better than what I expected it to be.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think it was going to be that way at all. I didn't even know it was coming out till I think maybe you mentioned it on Wednesday. And I was like, huh, I need to read this.
Yep. It was either me or Jay, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, it might have been Jay. You're right. There was another one that I read. The only reason I read it was because Hayden Sherman does the art for it. And he does the art for Cold War. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wasted Space from Vault Comics.
Yes.
And Vault's another really interesting company too, man. Yep. They've got some good stuff coming out.
Yep, I agree on that.
Yep, Vault. And if Black Mask could get on schedule, they'd have an awesome lineup.
Well, it's not really... Yeah, that's a different discussion for a different podcast, I guess. But it's not really Black Mask's fault if their creators can't get on schedule.
Sure. Yeah, I don't even know if it's all their stuff. Because what was the one...
Because, I mean, the Dregs...
Kim and Kim was on schedule. The Dregs was on schedule.
Yeah, and Come Into Me's on schedule, so...
Come Into Me's on schedule, yeah. It's just that Cal Exit, which is awesome when it comes out.
Yeah.
Like, once a year.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Oh, whatchamacallit did some books over there. Not Tinian. God.
Rosenberg?
Rosenberg, yeah. The Four Kids, and what was the other one? The Young Terrorists?
Yes, Young Terrorists and Four Kids Walk Into the Bank.
Yep, those are really good, too. I saw some, I don't know if they put out paperbacks. I think they only do hardcovers.
Yeah.
With the collections, which is too bad, because they end up being like $30.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, like, that's tough to pick up a trade for $30.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think Aftershocks, they do it like Image style, like where the number ones are like $9.99 or $10.99 or whatever, and then volume two is a little more. And then, of course, you know, you have the exclusive hardcovers and whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've never even noticed how much I paid for any Aftershock trade, so you could be lying to me and I wouldn't know. So just like, yeah, but I just want this one.
Yeah. Well,
like, the total is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, here's my card.
Shut up and take my money.
Just take my money. Ah, that's too bad. Maybe I should look at my receipts once in a while.
Well, you got to hide your receipts from your wife, so.
That is true.
At least that's what I did when I was at the booth, and I bought this and this and this and this and this, and I was like, you can just throw that away. I don't need it.
Well, my wife is very keen at checking her account 24/7, 50 times a day.
Yeah. Minus two. So,
unless I have a secret hidden credit card, which I would never do that for anything.
that was supposed to may or may not be used for C2E2.
That's all right. I'll just get gas with it for now and up my limit for next year.
There you go.
So, man. Whew. Yeah. Good times.
And now we got a conundrum for next year.
What's the conundrum?
Well, like, there's three cons all at the same time next year.
Oh, I mean, it's a conundrum for you.
Well, true, yeah.
Because you've got Planet Comic Con right by you.
Yeah, and it's the 20th anniversary, so I know. Yeah, so I know how big it was this year, and I only went one day, so next year's the 20th, so, yeah.
Mm.
But I did find out that in Springfield, Missouri, Colin Bunn and Jeremy Hahn are getting together with their local comic shop there, Cave Comics, and they're going to have a Cave Con in September, and Joe and Aftershock are going to be there for that one.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty cool.
Cave Con. That's a cool name.
Yep. Hopefully it'll be... I'm sure it probably won't be that big, but hopefully it'll be, you know, a decent-sized one.
Yeah. What was the other one? Was it Emerald City Comic Con?
In Seattle?
WonderCon? What was the third con that's happening the same weekend?
Yeah, it was WonderCon.
WonderCon?
Yeah.
God, that's going to be tough for retailers, dude.
Yeah.
Because, like, for fans, those are in three distinct parts of the country.
Yeah.
But for publishers, you have to pick and choose.
Mm. Yeah. Well, for Kansas City, like, for whatever reason, they don't invite Aftershock there anyway.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and Marvel and DC's not there, but like Scouts are there, and
yeah,
Source Point Press is there, and
oh, I like Source Point.
Yeah. And then there's a couple of other like indie smaller ones, like Lion Forge is there, obviously, because it's only 2 hours away from where they're
at.
Yeah. But like Marvel and DC aren't there, so. But
interesting. That might hurt. Well, that's definitely going to hurt Planet Comic Con, I would think, next year.
Yeah, you would think.
The problem is going to be where Marvel and DC go. Are they going to go to WonderCon or are they going to go to C2E2?
Yeah. Well, it'll also hurt like Matt Kent and Colin Bunn too.
Oh yeah.
And Jason Aaron.
Yep.
Because those three are always at KC and have for like the last 10 years. And then, well, I don't think Matt was there this time because he was in Italy, but then all three of them are always at Chicago. So.
Well, how about this? I'm gonna go to the con where Phil Hester shows up.
So we're going to Colorado.
Is that where he's gonna go?
He's going to the. There was a Indies Comic Con in Texas in next month, I think, that Jay and Sparky was talking about.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm talking like C2E2 weekend.
Oh yeah.
Because he was gonna go this year and then canceled last minute.
Yeah, right. And he canceled in Kansas City too, but that was because his wife broke her foot or whatever.
Yeah. Damn it, Aaron Campbell was a C2E2?
Fuck. Yeah. Yep.
Dang it.
Yep.
That's a good book, dude. I think issue 2 comes out this week.
Indeed.
Infidel. With the guy whose name I can't pronounce.
Yeah. Pistachio.
That's not his name.
Well, it's better than Porn Shack or whatever you said on the other show.
Dude, his first name is Porn Sack.
I don't think that's how it's pronounced.
Okay, how is it pronounced?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that's not it. It probably has some kind of cool pronunciation, but...
I don't think so, dude.
Okay. I mean, I am the butcher of names, so even if it didn't sound like that, then I would make it not sound like that anyway.
Look, I'm awesome at pronouncing names, and I can't pronounce this guy's name.
Well, yeah, that's true. True.
And it's probably something super simple. It's probably Porn Sack Pishay Shoddy.
Yeah.
Anyways, why are we not talking about Aftershock? What has happened to this podcast?
Derailed.
This is not the Valiant Central podcast. Rest in peace.
What's Valiant?
Never heard of it. Mm. It's this company that used to make comics.
Oh.
Yeah. Back in the day, the good old days in the 90s.
Yep.
Jim Shooter. Anyways, let's talk about some Aftershock stuff. How about that?
Sounds good.
We're going to talk about Her Infernal Descent this week. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
This whole show, we're going to talk about it.
Oh, man. I had to think about that long and hard, too, man, because we had planned to do it. And I was like, do I want to talk about this book before it comes out? You know, because that's hard to do. Like, some people might not want to listen because the book's not out.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? At least this way, it'll come out before the book is out and people want to go pick it up if they hadn't thought about doing it. And that podcast is not just Aftershock. So, you know, like if we had Zach and Lonnie here, like those people are most likely already going to be picking up the books anyway.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
But and I know I got a few messages that people were picking it up based on the discussion alone. So we'll see. We're not talking Her Infernal Descent
yet.
Damn it, Ronnie. Quit derailing the show.
That's what I do.
Where's Travis? We need some structure in here.
Yeah, we gave the intern a week off.
So we've got three books to discuss. Is that right?
Sounds about right. Yep.
Okay. We've got Brothers Dracul number 1, we've got Cold War number 3, and we've got Animosity Evolution number 5. We got three prime number books.
And three awesome books.
Which book would you like to talk about first?
Let's go with Cold War, since it starts with a C, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're going alphabetical order, then it would be Animosity, Brothers, and Cold War.
I didn't say I was going alphabetical. I just said just because it starts with a C.
Listen, if Rob Krieger was on this podcast, then that's the way he would do it, because he reads chronologically or alphabetically.
Right. Which I'm glad it works for him, because I don't think I could do that.
No, I can't do that. I pretty much read, like, whatever I see first is what I read.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
Because that means that you have to read the Lionforge book first.
Oh, yeah, because they're all Catalyst Prime something.
Yeah, so, well, and Acel Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, Excel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that book is like the worst one of that series. So,
well, it wouldn't necessarily be first, because like if that came out and Animosity came out, technically Excel would be second because it's Catalyst Prime Excel, not Excel.
Okay. Anyways,
that's how it's listed on the Diamond Preview catalog, bro. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know. But do you, right, but when you file your floppies away, do you file it under C or under A?
Under C. it's Catalyst Prime Excel.
Lies. All lies.
Listen, I just go by what Diamond tells me, okay? I'm a shill for Diamond Comics.
Maybe they should sponsor this podcast.
No, they can't sponsor this podcast. They've been working on their pull list thing for like 30 years. We'd get our sponsorship paycheck like next century. We can't have that.
Well, that's true.
All right, let's talk about Cold War number 3 then. This is written by Christopher Sabella, who wrote that Ghost Rider book that was pretty damn awesome. Hayden Sherman. Wait, that's the one that he wrote, right?
Yes.
Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he
yeah.
also did the Kickstarter for the Death Defying, which is...
oh, dang it.
Sir Cohen and Houdini. And it's awesome.
I totally missed out on that one. He's printing that though, right? Isn't that... Who's putting that out? Image?
I'm not sure.
I thought he was putting that out some... Oh, no. Never mind. I think he did his own studio. Because I thought I saw him talking about that on Comixology or on Twitter.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
So, Chris Sabella writing, Hayden Sherman on art, who's also got... What I call it? Wasted Space. That's what it's called.
Yep.
From Vault. Hayden is also doing the letters on here. He's also doing the covers on here. He's a one-man army. Hayden, One Man Army Sherman. Let's talk about this book. What'd you think about this issue?
The issue itself is crazy, just like the series has been for me. Because like once you get comfortable with a character, then there's like curveball after curveball. No?
So I'm going to go ahead and say this.
Oh.
As you know, Ronnie, Cold War number 1 and 2 were my jam.
Yeah.
Cold War number 3, not so much.
Really?
Yep.
Why so?
So Cold War 1 was interesting because it kind of set up this weird world that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Cold War 2 was cool because I didn't expect the curveball of Vin's backstory.
Okay.
This one tried to use the same format as the second issue. And the problem was, at least for me, Johnny and LQ are just not as interesting as Vin.
True, because we already got that like shock moment of hers, so anything after hers would be kind of like minor, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. The backstory with Johnny, I think if the entire issue had been the backstory with Johnny, and then if we had had a different path chosen for the confrontation between Vin and Johnny, then I think I would have liked the issue more because, like, Johnny's a crazy mother effer, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't quite tell, like, what the backstory is. I couldn't tell if maybe he was, like, a spy or if he was a serial killer.
I was thinking he was a serial killer.
Okay, good. That was my initial thought. But then, like, he started talking about something about government and, like, duty and things like that. And I was like, huh. But now that I think about it, maybe that's what the counterpoint was with LQ. Maybe that was part of LQ's story.
Yeah, LQ was like the terrorist cell.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. See, that was kind of confusing. And I think because all the people wear helmets at all times, they all look somewhat the same.
Okay, makes sense, yeah.
And so I kind of confused those two storylines. But okay, that makes more sense. I love serial killer stuff. So if they had just done like a whole issue of Johnny's backstory, then I would have been totally down for that. But because it wasn't that, it just kind of threw me off. And then, like, it didn't really do much for me in terms of advancing the story of why these people are here. Like, I think there was some stuff that was played on. Like, maybe this is just kind of like a TV show kind of thing.
Yeah.
But nobody's watching because everybody's dead.
Yeah. Because she used her hacking abilities to fake death and get cleaned up and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought that was pretty cool.
No, that was cool, but I think some of that got lost in the way the story was told.
Okay. Yeah, and
so for me, it wasn't as strong an issue as the first two.
All right, I can see it. Fair enough.
But I mean, other than that, like, I enjoyed it. It was just stuff that kind of had me a little bit lost.
Yeah, I can see that. Were you lost because of like Hayden's art, or just got lost in the storytelling part itself?
I think it was a little bit of both. And again, I don't think it's necessarily the art itself that had me lost. Just the fact that the character designs are also very similar.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, like when you have the confrontation in the warehouse and everybody takes their helmets off, like that was much more clearer for me because you can see all these different people. But when they're out on the field, like either escaping or battling robots or whatever, it's definitely not as clear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't like to be like told who somebody is, right? Like, and that's the only way that they can do it, because they're all wearing these helmets. So they're like, oh, hey, Vin, come over here. Hey, Johnny, like, go over there. And Johnny says, F you, Vin. Like, all right. Like, I get why it has to be done, but I don't – I want to be able to look at the page and kind of understand who I'm reading about and who's talking and things like that. And, yeah, I don't know. It just didn't happen for me in this issue.
All right.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yep.
You're wrong.
Anything else you want to say about this one? Oh, look, I'm not wrong, okay?
No, I think what I'm enjoying the most is the chaoticness of, like, everything that you don't like about it, I do like about it, because it seems to fit the world that they got thrusted in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even the writing or the art part of it, like, even being confused on who is who because of the helmets and everything.
Yeah.
I think that's the attraction I have with it. I mean, I agree with you that issue 1 and 2 was better than this one, but I don't think it was way off the mark, though.
No, it wasn't way off the mark. You're right, it wasn't. And there was a lot of exposition here, I assume, but I don't know.
That's cool. Rate it up then, sir.
I've got to go lower than usual on this one, man. And I don't know if maybe part of my rating is the fact that I've been reading so many books, and there's so many really solid books in the last week or two. But for me, I'm just going to have to go like a 3 out of 5 on this one.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to go 3.75, because there was a couple of times where I had to reread the panels to make sure I understood what was going on. But
yep.
Overall, I'm enjoying the heck out of it, though.
Yep, still enjoying it. And what's this, 5 issues, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's good. There's still plenty of story to go, so.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go on to, I guess I'll pick the next one. Let's do Brothers Dracul.
Okay.
Number one. This is written by Cullen Bunn, art by Mirko Kolak, who also, he doesn't do his own colors. Maria Santoliola does the colors. Simon Boland, longtime guy on letters. And that's it. That's the whole creative team. So this one is a retelling of the Dracula story,
yeah,
but more based on real life events.
Right. And
I wasn't sure about this one, man.
Okay.
I wasn't sure about this one. I liked the way that the issue ended.
Yeah.
But the path to get there was a little dry for me. And I'm very familiar with the story of Vlad the Impaler. So a lot of this was just kind of like reading a history book, which is kind of nice. I like that Cullen is taking chances on these like real historical figures, kind of like he did with
Unholy Grail,
even though that's not technically historical. But it is like a historical setting, right?
Or Dark Ark, I guess, really.
Yeah, or Dark Ark. The difference here is that, you know, these are real people that we're seeing in this book, whereas the other ones are more like mythology. And I like that he does that, because I like when a writer can bring something a little new to a story that you're familiar with. But I didn't quite connect with the two characters. We've got what's his name? Vlad, and what's his brother's name? Raku, maybe?
Raku, yeah.
I didn't quite connect with those two guys, because there's also a lot of setup going on, trying to give you some background on what's happening in Transylvania at this time. And already knowing the story, I kind of wanted to move past that. And I almost would have liked for the issue to start when the Sultan's son shows up.
Okay.
And so that way we can get a little bit more about what makes this different from reality. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that happens in that last page, I would like to see like halfway through the issue.
Okay. So what you don't like about this one is what you wanted from Unholy Grail.
Yes.
Because for Unholy Grail, for those who don't remember, you wanted the story to slow down and spend time.
Yes, yes.
But here you wanted it to speed up.
Well, I just didn't want that initial stuff.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I know. But I just feel like we could have gotten the background of why these brothers are on this journey with the Sultan's son in
flashbacks.
One page, three
okay.
panels.
Okay.
But instead, we get to meet their dad, Vladimir, and we learn that the Ottomans went and invaded the city or this country, and their dad has kind of surrendered his kingdom to them, and all the stuff, and that's why the brothers are with the Sultan's son, traveling through the countryside, blah blah blah. I just feel like all of that could have been done pretty quickly, kind of like he did in Unholy Grail, because there were some panels like that at the beginning of that first issue. The story was set up very quickly, and then it just kind of ended up slowing down eventually, after the second issue, third issue.
Yeah.
That's just what I would have liked to see.
I, on the other hand, because I guess I'm on the opposite side where I know Vlad's story, but not in great detail. And I know that some's made up and some's real type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the only person that the character I couldn't get into was the other brother, Raku.
Yeah.
But everything else, for a first issue, I thought it was, I thought it needed to do what it needed to do to set up the story to go on where we might go.
I'll agree with you on that. I'll agree with you on that. Radu, that's his name.
Okay.
Not Raku. I agree with that. I just feel, I understand that I know the story and a lot of people don't,
Yep, because you're a hipster.
Because I'm a hipster. So I'm trying to be fair to the book itself, right? Because, as a reviewer of the book, I'm going to have my own personal prejudices when I read something. And I try to do my best to shy away from some of that stuff, but some things you kind of just can't help, And I think Vlad is a really interesting character. Radu, much less so, both in real life and in this book.
Yeah.
And, the fact that we're getting both of their stories could be interesting, so I can learn a little bit more about Radu. But, Vlad's really what I'm here for.
Yep. I agree.
And in this particular first issue, he wasn't the most personable character. He wasn't very relatable. He was kind of a jerk, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
He was like a little whiny kid,
Yeah.
And I understand why. But he's not necessarily that way when he gets older. Although you can definitely see the progression. If you know the story, you can see the progression of how he could have gotten from the point that we see in this first issue to what he becomes much later on in life. So
see, I didn't think that he was a whiny kid. Vlad, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think. I thought
Radu?
Radu was the whiny one, and Vlad was like the hard-nosed, no-emotion type one, where he was like, yes, that's what Dad's going to do, and no, we have to stay here type thing. You quit whining about it and just get over it.
Mm, okay.
I mean, that's how I read it. I could be wrong as well.
No, I mean, you might be right. I just remember there was one panel where it looked like it was Vlad. He's like, well, I don't want to go over there. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, come on. Bro. Yeah, I think that was Rotku.
Okay.
That was whining like Luke from Star Wars.
I don't know what that is. Never heard of it.
I want to go to town and get some power converters.
What do you mean you're my dad? Yeah, no, I hear you. We'll see. I think once the second issue comes out, if we continue with the way that this first one left off, then I think this book will take a very interesting turn.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, a lot of times, like, I've never seen – well, never mind. I have seen it because there was that that Vlad the Impaler movie that came out, like, 2 years ago. Oh, God, what was it called? I think it might have been called – no, it wasn't called Dracula.
Was it the Hugh Jackman one?
Was it Hugh Jackman?
I don't know. I'm just
asking. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It came out, like, 2 years ago, and it tried to do a little bit more of, I think, what this book is doing – melding the fiction with reality.
Right, yeah.
Which I hadn't seen before because, you know, usually when you hear about Vlad, you automatically think Dracula and, like,
right.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right.
Or if you're a hipster like me, you think about, like, the half a dozen documentaries that you've seen on it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no in-between. Right. And, like, to have those two things meld together could be really interesting.
Yeah. I will rate this one up first. I will give it...
No.
I will. Too bad.
Oh, Dracula Untold. That's what it's called.
Okay. Was it Hugh Jackman? No.
I don't know. I'll look it up right now. Continue. Rate it.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 because it hit all the high notes for me to where, especially like the last page where I'm really excited about number 2.
Okay. It was not Hugh Jackman. It was Luke Evans.
Who doesn't look anything like Hugh Jackman.
Who looks nothing like Hugh Jackman. He looks more like the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean. What's his name?
Johnny Depp?
No, the other guy.
Ethan Jude Law?
God, you are terrible with names.
I don't know.
No, the guy, Orlando Bloom.
Okay.
He looks like Orlando Bloom.
Okay.
Surprisingly, even though I've been kind of down on this book as I've been talking about it, I am also going to give this a 4 out of 5. Because I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Matter of fact, I enjoyed it more than Unholy Grail so far.
Well, that's a plus.
Yes.
So
yes, it is.
So you've liked 2 of the 3 Colin Bunn Aftershock books then so far.
Correct. Correct. This guy played Professor Marston in that the Wonder Woman biopic thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is on Hulu, by the way, so you should watch it because it's free if you have Hulu.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to Animosity Evolution number 5, mm-hmm. written by the one, the only, Marguerite Bennett, art by Eric Gapster, colors by Rob Schwaggy P. Schwagger, letters by Marshall Dillon. That Marshall Dillon is a busy guy, man.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you. He never runs out of work.
Nope.
And this continues with the arc about the half-robot, half-animal animals.
Yeah,
and expands it quite a bit, I would say.
Yeah, it leaves kind of. It's kind of, yeah. I mean, it ends on something crazy, but like before we get there, it almost makes me wonder, like, how come we haven't seen the Armada in the other world yet?
Well, because they're on opposite sides of the country.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean. Yeah. Evolution takes place on the West Coast, and Animosity proper takes place on the East Coast.
Okay.
It's like Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
Never heard of it.
I know, me neither.
But
Fear
yeah.
the Walking Dead's pretty good.
Yeah.
That Walking Dead, not so much.
The comic's awesome.
Sure, if you say so.
Anyway, so yes. But this one still kind of confused me, though, a little bit.
This confused me a lot.
Okay.
And I think the problem with the confusion for me is that all the animals refer to each other by name,
mm-hmm.
but I can never remember any animal's name.
Really?
Yeah. Like, aside from ones that we see all the time, like Kirikuri and Wintermute and the cow, whatever her name is.
Bertha?
Yeah. Like, aside from those, I never remember any names. And so I kind of get a lot of cues as to who the characters are based on the situation that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the little section with the mice and the bat.
Octavia and
– Yep.
And then the other ones.
Hey. Yeah. See? You do the same thing.
Yeah. No, I can't remember. I'm same with you. I can't remember their names either, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, but like what's the other bat's name? The one that sent the mice to their death or whatever to get eaten, because I always want to refer that one to Kirikiki or whatever too.
Is it Maya?
Maybe. See, but that's the thing, is like there's so many animals in this one, I can't keep track.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder to keep track here than in the other book. Yeah. Because I think also in Animosity proper, we generally see the same animals over and over again.
Right.
In every issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, you meet so many new characters that I think it makes it a little harder to keep track of it. But, I mean, either way, it doesn't, at least for me, take anything from the story, you know? It just takes a little more careful reading than the other book does.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know that you weren't in the last episode because you're a slacker, but there's a horse in this book. And what I said in the last episode when we were talking about Animosity is, why don't they have more dang horses in here?
Yes.
Seek and you shall receive. There's a horse.
A Clydesdale at that, right?
Yeah, Clydesdale. Goliath.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was cool to see. So thanks, Marguerite.
Yeah. Your wish was granted six months ago.
Very sweet. Oh man, yes, 6 months ago. My favorite thing about this issue was the reveal about who the villain is, and he's called the Leopard, I guess, but he's not a leopard.
Yeah,
he's a wolf, maybe.
Yeah, which would be the same thing as Wintermute, right?
Yes, but this is a different. It looks like a different type of wolf, right? Wintermute is a Malamute, isn't she?
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
One of those Arctic dogs.
Yeah.
This guy is an actual wolf. And that one page, dude, when they reveal who he is, it's pretty damn creepy. The wolf wearing a suit.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't understand the whole, like, who's the bad guy here, really, though?
Well, I don't think we know yet. I think as the book has progressed, we kind of start thinking more and more that maybe Wintermute is. But now we meet the Leopard, and like he's going counter to whatever Wintermute is trying to do. But it doesn't seem like he's doing any good for anybody.
Right.
Right? Because he's almost like a gangster type.
Yeah. Well, but she's like, I don't know if you'd say con artist or not, but like she's really sneaky about it too. Like with Goliath, she was like, "Do you want to live, Goliath? Say you want to live, and we can make you whole again or whatever."
Yeah, like, she's like, "Pledge your allegiance to me, and I'll make you whole." I'm like, "Whoa."
Yeah, there was no like, "Okay, we want you to live, so we're gonna do this," or "Are you okay with us doing this?" It was more like creepy factor in it.
Well, I thought that was interesting though. And I hate bringing politics into comic book discussions, but it happens sometimes. And I think with a Marguerite book, it's, at least for me, bound to happen more often than at other times.
Right.
But, like, I think she's playing around a lot with what it takes to be a good leader and, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you could say that Wintermute's really just out for herself. But, you know, she's built this whole community where animals and people can live together. And survive and thrive. And, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Right.
Like, she might be using sketchy means, but isn't that politics? Yeah. Like, politicians are pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Like, what envelope are you going to press to get the job done type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, leading people isn't easy, especially in this weird, messed up world where everything's kind of falling apart.
Yep.
You know, so she kind of has to do weird stuff.
Yep.
So even through all of that, I still don't necessarily think that she's a bad person.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
But this Leopard guy, he's a piece of work.
Yeah.
He's a piece of work.
He's your mustache twirling villain for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Except creepier and hairier.
Well, yeah.
I do find it weird, and this is just like my own personal hipsterness, that you have these two groups being led by wolves, and the wolves don't have like a clan with them.
Yeah,
they're both just single wolves,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And wolves don't live by themselves. They're always in a pack.
Right.
And I mean, I guess maybe you could say that like whatever society they've built around themselves is their pack. But like they had to have a pack before the, you know, the rise.
Yeah.
So where did those animals go?
Where are they at? Did they get sacrificed or not?
Yep. Maybe. Anything else you want to say about Animosity Evolution?
Nope.
Cool. I guess we'll rate it up.
Cool. Go for it.
I will give this one a 4.5 out of 5. It was really good.
I'm going to give it a 4.25 out of 5. Uh-oh, I'm not Cyborg anymore.
Man, that last page is creepy as hell.
Yeah, it is.
It was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very good, very good. I wonder what that whole thing means for the future of the story, right? I mean, I guess we could just say it. The Leopard wants to get rid of the Automata, right?
Yeah.
The animals with cyborg parts.
Yeah.
And at the end, Wintermute kind of sees us coming and takes her robot parts off just in time when the robot parts get destroyed remotely.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like this is taking the story in a different place. I don't know if you read Analog.
Yeah, I did.
The Jerry Duggan book.
Yeah.
But it almost like seemed like that, right?
Yeah.
Where like they're trying to get rid of technology.
And that's gotta be a heck of a range for that remote.
No kidding.
But yeah.
No kidding. All right, we are done.
Yep. There's two things I want to say for the Shock Anthology book, though.
Yes.
So far, and I've only read the whole thing once, but the story of Invasion. That is Francisca Franavilla.
Ooh, yes.
Is amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not like a serious one, but you think it's a serious one, so I'm not going to spoil it because everybody needs to read it, but it's pretty awesome. And he writes and draws it, so it's double awesome.
Nice. I love his art.
Yeah.
I love his art. It's great.
And then I do like Joe's To Live or Die story in it, which is a war story.
Nice. Yeah, when I get my paws on it and I read it, we can discuss it.
Sounds like a plan.
Maybe I should just go and buy the digital copy.
Or be like me and triple dip.
Yeah, I guess I could do that too. Dang it. All right, what do we have next week aside from the greatest book ever, Her Infernal Descent?
I'm not 100% sure.
Let's see. We're terrible at being prepared.
Yeah, we are. We do it by the seat of our pants. And you do have the PDF of Shock, by the way.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't read those things.
You read PDFs?
From what I can tell, next week is Rough Riders Ride or Die number 3 and Her Infernal Descent number 1.
There you go.
That's a good week.
Yeah.
That's a great week.
It's not a jam-packed week like this week, but it's a pretty heavy-handed week for sure.
Yep. Oh, matter of fact, I need to go read that. We already have number 3, right?
Yep, we do.
We got it last week.
Yep.
Oh, man. This cover's awesome. It reminds me of like the old EC archive.
Yeah.
Like Tales from the Crypt books.
Yep.
Great cover.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the one, the only... The incomparable, because we're the only Aftershock podcast, Aftershock Central, with me and Ronnie. That's right. And sometimes Travis.
Yeah. And sometimes Aaron.
And sometimes Aaron. You can find us all on the Twitter machine at Rumbar316, at The Great Magnet, at Geekvine, at Aftershock Pod. And what else?
That's it.
Oh, okay, good. And Facebook, I guess, if you have that, you can go find the Aftershock fans group, which I can no longer access because Facebook is dead to me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week. Have a great night. Mm-hmm.